Welcome to the Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before, and we're here with Baylor.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Cass.
Hey.
Lisa.
This is very ominous. Hi.
Mackenzie.
Hi.
Oh. and Jeanette. Hello. And I'm Justin. And
you didn't let me say hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Justin, and we're here. We're actually doing a few remembrances, aren't we?
Yeah.
So we're doing a couple of remembrances for people that have passed in the film industry that are culty, cult people. Yeah.
And there were people that were part of things that mattered to us, I guess you could say.
Or people that we grew up with doing things in the industry. So we'll start off with Tom Kane, Tom Kane. Very easy, simple one. He's a voice actor.
Yeah.
Very well known for his role as Admiral Yularen.
Admiral Yularen in Star Wars The Clone Wars. Yep. He also did the opening sprawls, which in the movies were giant walls of text, but in The Clone Wars it was a voiceover over
animation.
And he did that every single episode for the entirety of the...
But he did that in Powerpuff Girls as well. So he was the voiceover in Powerpuff Girls.
He's known as the voiceover dude.
Yeah.
You know, like those ones that do the trailers for the movies, you know.
Yeah.
Coming to a theatre near you. Justin's voice.
I mean, he did quite a bit. He was in Batman. He was in, like I said, Powerpuff Girls, Wild Thornberries. He was very much like an early 90s kid sort of thing.
Cool.
It's also probably he's one that you'd recognise but don't know the name of, because a lot of the voice artists are prominent, but you wouldn't know.
Distinctive voices.
And Tom Kane passed away recently.
Yes, he passed away in May. I believe it was May 18th. Yeah. So just a little nod to... Oh, my God. He also played Yoda in The Clone Wars.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. I think he played a couple of characters. They got a couple
But yeah, there you go. There you go.
Okay. So who else have we got?
Jeanette is bringing to the table Marcia Lucas.
Maria Lucas. So she was the originally wife of George Lucas?
Marcia.
Marcia Lewis was originally married to George Lucas when he started doing Star Wars films.
Oh.
And is often considered or suspected to have been a driving force.
I was going
to
say, was she the editor?
Yeah, she was the editor.
Oh,
yes.
I've heard so many times that the reason why those movies were successful was not because of what he did, it was the editing.
Yes. Exactly.
When she took a pile of crap and turned it into a masterpiece.
Yeah. Because the later films, of course, she was not involved in.
Mm. Ah.
So the first three, the gems.
Yeah.
And then she went on to work with Spielberg and worked on a lot of... She won an Oscar for her editing. So, really, really talented woman, very committed to the industry and worked right through. Was not impressed with the later Star Wars movies.
Marcia's behind the reason that Obi-Wan Kenobi died to Darth Vader.
Ooh.
In the first movie.
So she edited that?
Yeah.
I think she was editing the script as well.
Which was probably very necessary.
Yeah. George Lucas was like, Kenobi's going to survive after this. And she was like, nah.
No, he's
dead. Mm-hmm. He's dead now.
And, wrote that he would return, however, as a spiritual guide.
Yeah. So she edited things like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That's a good movie. Mm.
The Conversation.
George Lucas's first choice was someone else.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
She had edited Taxi Driver.
Oh, Jesus!
She edited Taxi Driver.
We're burying the lead here.
She was pregnant, so George Lucas was going to get someone else to edit the movies, the person who did edit. One Shot Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I didn't read the title, and I do not know the movie off the top of my head, regretfully. But couldn't, and so she ended up editing Star Wars as well. She edited quite a bit before Star Wars.
So she's edited for George Lucas, Scorsese,
Spielberg,
Coppola.
All before Star Wars.
All before Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's a producer after that in 1996, 1998. For No Easy Way and Good Son, And then she gets the good points as well.
A good son. I was like going, hang on, isn't that the Macaulay Culkin?
No.
Elijah Wood movie. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't look like she does more after 1983. It looks like she did quite a lot beforehand.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, if after that she had George Lucas money, which after the success of the Star Wars movies,
why would you worry?
You do see these stories and you go, where are they now? And it's like they got a lot of money and decided to just enjoy their lives.
They're on the beach.
They didn't have to keep hustling. They could just relax. Yeah. So
I hate the fact that we've lost some very powerful women in the sci-fi universe.
Yes.
Because we did one earlier on for Star Trek as well, who was the driving force behind that.
Yeah.
I think it's really heartbreaking that we've now lost another great woman is the driving force, more or less, behind of Star Wars as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Both the women who were at the start of Star Wars, because not Mara. Carrie Fisher.
I get those two confused too.
I'm not good at the names. I pick on other people for knowing the names.
Actually, this is a good example.
This is a character for me.
Carrie Fisher was a very strong woman, but she didn't know what she wanted for Christmas. But there was just one thing she needed. And
that was Carrie Fisher.
What a burn.
Because, yeah, that's kind of all the influential women from early Star Wars. Now, of course, you've got the actress of Padme Amidala.
Natalie Portman
is amazing. She will defend her movies. She's great. But it's really cool to see these women that kind of paved the way. I mean, I would put the woman that played Uhura in there as well.
Because
she was also paving the way for women in space as well. I mean, space is sci-fi. And black women in the future.
Major role.
She used a lot of her clout to work for women in STEM and women
astronomy. Was the first Star Trek actress to appear in Star Trek, then go to space.
Followed by the first Star Trek actor who was an astronaut and then became an actor, which I think is a wonderful one.
That was because of
Michelle.
They're all gone now, which is a real pity.
I guess we've got space now for other women to step forward and become amazing people.
They're already amazing.
I was going to say, look, this is my time. This is my moment. I'm about to step up and be amazing. Yeah. But I've not had enough sleep, so.
I definitely haven't had enough sleep since, like, 2024.
I am tired. Yes. So I will take a nap.
And you know what, Lisa? You are doing a disservice to the women that we're remembering right now. Because they didn't sleep. They did nothing
they hustled.
But eat.
Yeah.
They walked a walk and destroyed the world with it. Like, they were awesome.
So there's one more obituary.
Yes.
And that is Anthony Head.
Yes.
Who was, of course, one of the starring actors of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
And was the headmaster in School Reunion.
Doctor Who reference.
Fantastic Monster in Doctor Who. Yeah.
Also was the Prime Minister in Little Britain. Was also Mr. Baddy in Ted Lasso. A lot of stuff that he did.
Yeah.
He was also a Broadway actor for a long time, playing Frankenfurter in Rocky Horror Picture Show. He had a very versatile career.
And was apparently just a lovely, lovely person. Like, the things people said when he died, and go, there's real warmth. Like, they really So many people came out and said how good he'd been to work with, and, this is probably why he's so good at playing bad, evil people. It's always the nicest people that are best at playing.
He always just looked like he enjoyed what he was doing and was just having a good time, and I think that's really cool, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't get bogged down in his own ego.
No.
I never met the guy, I can't say, but I feel like that was the case.
It definitely sound like it from reading comments from people that have worked with him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that will go on. Okay, so, and that's it from the Cult TV Club for this episode, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.